For this evening, we'll be thinking about that last petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And so let's give ear again to God's word. Begin reading in verse 9 and read through verse 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Please pray with me briefly. Our Father and our God, we again seek your blessing. We pray that you might provide an abundant outpouring of your Holy Spirit this evening. Lord, that we might very clearly hear the voice of our Savior speaking to us. Lord, we pray that we might be thankful that we have a Savior who has overcome temptation and who now intercedes for us and is our protector and our sustainer. In all of this, Lord, we pray that our Lord Jesus will be high and lifted up. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study of the book of Numbers in our morning services, we have been thinking about that image of the church in this world as the church in the wilderness. We are in a place that is not hospitable to us, a place with many dangers. We go out as pilgrim warriors, and that means we should expect to face many dangers. And this petition acknowledges that we face dangers in this world as Christians. There are dangers for us in this wilderness. And here our Lord Jesus reminds us that temptation, sin, and Satan are very real and constant threats to our souls. If you look at your Bibles, interestingly, all these final three petitions are linked with the word and. And so after the prayer for forgiveness of past sins, now comes a petition for protection from future sins. Now this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is one petition, but we could say it has two different focuses. There is first a focus that we would not be brought into sin, that the Lord would keep us from temptation and sin. But if we do fall into sin, there is a petition that the Lord would then rescue us or deliver us or extract us from our sins. Now, as we think about this petition, we're going to be thinking about temptation and the evil one, how they are dangers to us. And I think it would be good for us to begin this evening about thinking about our Lord's temptations, because I think that they will serve to illustrate both the danger of the threat that we face, but at the same time, the confidence that we can have in Jesus to protect us and deliver us. And so let's begin this evening by thinking about Jesus' temptation and the evil one. Jesus was very aware of the dangers of sin and temptation and the evil one. He knew firsthand what it was to be tempted severely by Satan. And understanding our Lord's personal experience, I think, will help us grasp the importance of this petition. In Matthew chapter 4, not long before Jesus preached this sermon, we have the account of Jesus' temptation, where? In the wilderness. And it reminds us that Jesus is not detached from our experience. He was tempted in a wilderness just as we are tempted in the wilderness. And what is easy to overlook about that account in Matthew 4 is that account must have come from the lips of Jesus himself. No one was with him during that period of temptation in the wilderness, and so Jesus must have relayed that account to his disciples. And so the record that we have is Jesus' own account and his own interpretation of those events. And I think in a very basic sense, we should notice that Jesus took temptation seriously. He took Satan seriously. He clearly understood that Satan was a real and present danger. Satan was no doubt consistently tempting Jesus throughout his ministry. And it's interesting that his main temptation seemed to be to get Jesus to avoid the cross, to take what was his without the cross. Take your kingship, take your kingdom without the cross. But in many ways, we should think of Jesus' ministry as being bracketed by temptations. We have the temptation in Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness. But then Luke ends that account. He gives his account of the temptation in the wilderness. And he says that the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until a more opportune time. And throughout church history, there has been much agreement that that opportune time came in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus again was at a weak point, he was weak from fasting at the beginning of his ministry. At the end of his ministry, he was weak as the shadow of the cross fell upon him. As he began to sense the looming suffering of the cross and being forsaken by his Father, Satan came to him again at that weak point. And in his first temptation, we find Jesus replying with Scripture. And that second temptation, he replies with prayer. And I think the point that we should notice is that if our Lord Jesus Christ could be tempted, and if he took Satan and temptation seriously, why don't we? Jesus' humanity was weak like ours, but he did not have a sinful nature like ours. He never succumbed to temptation. We, however, are sinful and we succumb all the time. Friends, if Jesus, the sinless Son of God, took temptation seriously, so must we. And we can be dull and sometimes careless in this regard. We need to take temptation. We need to take the threats of the evil one seriously. And we need to learn from Christ how to meet and overcome temptation. And yet we can also be encouraged, because he is truly, when it comes to temptation, he is truly our sympathetic high priest. Tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. That's someone that you should want protecting you from the evil one. Someone who victoriously defeated Satan and defeated every single temptation. And so we have much to learn about taking sin and temptation seriously, but we can also take much encouragement from the fact that Jesus indeed was tempted like us and yet victorious. Let's consider the first part of this petition. Lead us not into temptation. Now, temptation is simply an enticement to sin. And we need to understand that in our flesh, in our fallen nature, we want to sin. And this temptation assaults us in three ways. We can be tempted by the world. by our own sinful flesh or by the devil or the evil one. And Sinclair Ferguson wrote this. He says that Scripture reminds us that we are exposed to the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can deal with the flesh by God's grace, or with the world and all its allurements, and even with the devil in the strength of Christ. But the ultimate test confronts us when all three conspire together. That's the great danger. This is the three-pronged approach of the enemy. The world indeed is a temptation to us. And when we talk about the world in this manner, we're talking about the world as the kingdom of Satan. The evil system that is organized by Satan. It's the sum total of everything that's opposed to God. And it's dangerous, and yet the world is alluring. It's enticing. We see that imagery in the book of Revelation, where the world is pictured as a harlot that is attractive on the outside. And that is why John warns us of the dangers of loving the world. It's alluring. It's enticing. It's a way in which we are tempted. But we, of course, are also just tempted by our own sinful flesh. And again, when the Bible talks about the flesh in this manner, it's talking about our sinful nature that we still fight against. And if we really think about it, how often do the world and our own sinful flesh work together to bring temptation to us? We have the outward enticement of the world and its allurements, and then we have the inward desires of our sinful heart that want to sin, that want to yield to those enticements. And that's why Jesus warned his disciples in Gethsemane. He said, "Watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we need to be reminded of that. We may sincerely want to do the right thing, but our flesh, we cannot trust our flesh. Our flesh is weak. It wages war against us. It wants to sin. And we need to let that drive us in the protective arms of Jesus Christ and pray, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me." And so we're tempted by the world, we're tempted by our flesh, and we're tempted by Satan. So that brings us to think about the second part of the petition, deliver us from the evil one. And if you have the ESV, you'll notice that that's probably footnoted with the addition of the evil one. It gives some reality to it. It's not some abstract evil, but it is a person. Satan, that name means adversary or the one who opposes. He opposes Christ. He opposes us. He is our enemy. He's described as the one who deceives the whole world. And the Bible warns us that Satan is very clever and intelligent and powerful. Now he, while being very good at what he does, is under the control of God. But he is still at work. And Satan has those two great allies of the world and our own sinful flesh. And he uses those very cunningly to entice us. And as we think about our enemy, we need to remind ourselves of a disturbing reality and let it discomfort us a bit. And that is, Satan hates us, and he knows who you are. He hates you, and he knows who you are. He desires to destroy you. He has been a murderer and has been from the beginning. You know, we find much comfort in the fact that our enemies don't know who we are and where we live. We find comfort that at this moment, the leader of the Taliban does not know who you are or where you live and doesn't know your daily routine. But if you were told that the leader of the Taliban is now in Colorado Springs and he knows who you are and he knows where you live and he knows what your routine is, that would make us very, very concerned. And yet that is what we have in Satan, our enemy. He knows who you are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows where you are vulnerable. This cunning, powerful enemy knows you. And while that should make us uncomfortable, again, that should drive us into the protective care of Jesus Christ. To drive us into the arms of the one who crushed the head of the serpent and who is able to defend us and sustain us. But lastly, let's move to think about how we apply this petition to our lives. And as we saw with the other petitions, we must desire to perform what we pray for. We're to be doers of the word, and we're to be part of the answer to this prayer. In other words, we can't pray, "Lord, lead me not into temptation," in a glib and insincere way while just rushing headlong and carelessly into temptation. I don't know if you'll see that one as a new entry in Webster's dictionary or not, but we must pray this petition sincerely. We must desire to be part of the answer to this prayer. Wilhelmus Abrakel said to pray without a desire to be active is mocking God. And so how do we perform what we pray for? Well, first, we need to acknowledge our weakness to God, to ourselves, and when appropriate, to others. We need to recognize and admit that we cannot overcome temptation and sin without the power of Christ and His Spirit. And very often we need to admit to God and be honest with ourselves that we simply don't have the desire to overcome temptation. That in our flesh we very often want to sin. Now, in the midst of their temptation, Jesus told the disciples that their flesh was weak. He was urging them to pray, to seek the Lord's strength. And it reminds us that we cannot overcome temptation in our own strength. And when we think that we are strong, because that's where the disciples were. The reason that they were not vigilant in prayer is they thought they were strong. And when we think we are strong, we become vulnerable to temptation. So we need to acknowledge our weakness, but then secondly, we need to deliberately avoid temptation. And this begins by us asking the Holy Spirit to give us sensitive hearts. That is, we need to first realize that we are being tempted. And I fear that all too often we don't even realize that we have entered into temptation. That's what happened to the disciples. They were warned repeatedly by Jesus and the temptation was on them. They didn't even realize that they were being tempted. Peter didn't realize that he was being tempted to deny Jesus Christ. And friends, when we realize how often blind we are to temptation, we should make this part of our prayer. Lord, make me sensitive to even know when I'm being tempted. In a very practical sense, we need to know our specific weaknesses. We need to improve on our past temptations. In other words, learn from your mistakes. Know when you are tempted. Is it a certain time of day, when you're with a certain person, when you're engaged in a certain kind of activity? These are very practical ways that we deliberately avoid temptation. And many of these things are on the surface are very innocent things. I knew someone who loved to play basketball. They played competitively in college, and they would play, I don't know if it's called intramurals, but whatever, it was some club league. And a gentle Christian guy realized that the silly basketball league was driving him into the sin of anger. It was tempting him every time he played, and he had to say, I can't do this anymore. I'm being tempted to sin. And so it could be things that are not inherently wrong, and yet they provide an opportunity for us to be tempted. And then we must pray for deliverance from temptation. Deliverance from temptation. We are being tempted. We are being tempted. We need to pray that the Lord would deliver us, that realize that you are in a battle that you can't win. And go to Christ and pray expectantly, Lord, deliver me from temptation. And we are taught, we are given this promise that God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. But then lastly, if we do fall into sin, if we do succumb to temptation, we then pray for rescue from sin and Satan. When we have fallen and we find ourselves caught in sin, pray that God would rescue you from the evil one. Now that's different than forgive us our debts. This is more than a prayer for forgiveness, but a prayer that the Lord would not let us be overtaken by this sin, but that we would be delivered from it, that Satan would not seize us, but that we would be delivered. And it's interesting, that word deliver carries with it the idea of extraction. Extraction from a battle that we have lost, a battle in which we have been wounded, that we have succumbed to. And here we have hope that Christ will do this. He will extract us. He will not let us be overcome. He will forgive us. He will restore us. He will set our feet again on level paths. So on this wilderness journey, we face many dangers. Temptations to sin, we face the traps of the evil one, and this petition in many ways is a remedy for spiritual carelessness. It teaches us to be watchful and to pray daily for this protection. It drives us to Christ as our protector, as our keeper, and yet it encourages us. The Lord would not have given us this petition if He did not intend to answer it. He is the one who defeated Satan at the cross. He defeated him. He broke his power. He bound him like a defeated enemy. And that means He will answer this prayer. The great high priest who conquered sin and Satan lives forever to make intercession for us, to answer this prayer. So I pray that as we begin a new week, we will do so with greater spiritual vigilance, praying for the Lord's protection, but also with greater confidence that Jesus is with us by His Holy Spirit, indeed protecting us and giving us victory over temptation and sin. So as we begin a new week. Let's look to our great conqueror and let's pray with sincerity, with expectation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your promise of protection and care. Lord, forgive us for our spiritual carelessness. Forgive us for not recognizing the enemies that face us and consistently coming to Christ, asking for his help and protection. But we pray, O God, that you might make us watchful. Lord, that you might cause us to go to you in prayer and daily ask for your protection and your deliverance. And Lord, we thank you that our hope of this petition being answered doesn't lie with us, but it lies with our Savior, who conquered not only death, but conquered sin and Satan for us. Lord, we thank you for the finished work of your Son, and we thank you for his ongoing work and care in our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.